Welcome to another Message from the Heart. Life-changing messages from the heart of Pastor Darren Brown, Senior Pastor of Coast Church, Mumbai.
The greatest act of worship you can bring the Lord today is to become everything He destined you to be. Because He has a plan for your life. And many of us hold back. But I'm telling you now, this is the time that we need to press in and become everything that we should be. We've been doing a series on how to reach your full potential in Christ. And I know most of you here in this room are not content to just sit here and say, oh, well, I'll just cruise along and just be a Christian. I think it's really, really important that we get this right and we become everything that we could possibly be in the Lord. Do you agree? This is the only life you get. It's not like a computer game where you can just, you know, run over a little token and get three more lives. It doesn't work that way. We can't rehearse this. We can't go back and replay it till we get it right. We have to get our one life right, this one shot we've got. So I want to encourage you to do everything you can to reach for your potential and be the greatest that you can possibly be for the Lord Jesus. Are you with me?
Yes.
Good. Now, being great for the Lord is not necessarily being great in the eyes of the world, but what it means is that you are able to do something significant in the lives of people around you. So the question is, how do you do it? We've looked at a couple of things already. The first essential we found was to have a clean heart. We discovered that without obedience on your part, you'll never reach your full potential. You can't just be in sin and think you're going to make an incredible difference for the Lord, because it's not going to happen. The second essential was to have a clear mind, to have the mind of Christ. That we saw that without the mind of Christ, you make, you know, unwise decisions. With the mind of Christ, if you can see clearly and think clearly and see the way He sees, you'll make wise decisions and you'll move into your destiny that way. God-centered decisions, and you can move into your full potential. Now, concerning these two things, I just want to share one quote I read this week, and I really liked it because it just hit me between the eyes. Listen to this. This is from Patrick Morley. He says this: "The partially surrendered life may be Christian in spirit, but it is secular in practice. It may save one's soul, but it hardly leaves a noticeable ripple on one's lifestyle, life view, or the world and culture in which we live. Of what earthly value is Christianity if it leaves no indelible mark on one's lifestyle?" Isn't that incredible? You know, you can say, I'm a Christian, you can go to church, you can act like a Christian, but going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. It doesn't work that way. What makes you a Christian is receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and letting Him flow through you and change your life. That's what people see. Many people will never sit and read the Bible, but they're reading you all the time. All the time. So it's important that we get it right. So the third essential that we're going to look at and explore today is using your God-given talents. God has given every one of us talents, and our task is to place our talents at His feet and to learn how to hone and develop them. We have a couple of courses here, and that's why we have 201. It's a course where we look at your spiritual gifts and your passions and all that sort of stuff. Now, the reason that we do those courses, the reason we'd encourage you to be a part of those courses, is to help you discover what gifts you have in you, what talents you have in you, what's been placed in your life, and how you can, in this environment of this church, how you can explore and develop that gift and how you can let the Lord use it to your maximum potential. And I'm often asked when we do 201, what's the difference between a natural gift or talent that you have and a spiritual gift? That's a good question, isn't it? Don't you think? What's the difference? Well, there's a fair degree of overlap between the two, and I'll explain that in a moment. But out of your natural talents and abilities, very often grows an incredible spiritual gift. But it's not something that you sort of didn't have before. It's something that you kind of had the seed of before that God takes and uses to explode something amazing in your life. So, what has God gifted you to do? Are you functioning in and developing your gifts? Are you worshiping God by reaching out for your full potential in those gifts? Or maybe are you trying to use gifts that you don't have? I'm going to talk about that in a few moments. See, the thing is, the Bible teaches us that we are unique. Everybody say, I'm unique. You're unique. You're completely unique. Nobody's ever been born before that's like you. Nobody ever will be born again. When God made you, he threw away the mold. You're it. You are incredibly unique. And he's given you tools to bless others, unique gifts bestowed upon you from before time began to allow you to function as only you can function in the unique role that he has laid out for you. You've got to get an eternal perspective of this. Lots of things we think are random that happen to us are not random. They're part of what God is growing in us. And if we could see with his eyes and see eternity past, present, and future, then we would understand these principles. Our key verse for the year is Ephesians 3 verse 20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to his power that works within us. Exceedingly abundantly. So many times we look at our lives and we think things and we think, oh, maybe I could do this, maybe I could do this. But I'm telling you, he can go exceedingly abundantly beyond that. So we should get excited. Get excited. Look at that. Who's excited? Good. Let your face know about it. So fantastic. Much better. Some folks want what others have got. And so they've been given tools to reach their potential, but they want to be something different. And I caution you with this. And sometimes it's well-meant and well-intended, but some people want to sort of try and move in gifts that they really haven't got. Some are gifted as a screwdriver, but they want to saw things. Some are drills, but they want to paint. If you're going to reach your full potential, you must discover and begin to develop your God-given gifts that God has lovingly placed in you. Okay? Now, some of you might want to sing like a nightingale, but if everyone else thinks you sound like a gale in the night, it's not going to fly. You know what I mean? Like, you might think you sound like a nightingale, but if everyone's going, maybe singing is not for you. If at first you don't succeed, perhaps skydiving is not for you. Think about it. All around us, people are doing things in church and out of church. They're doing things with good intentions that God never asked them to do. They strive to do what their parents wanted. Some well-meaning person recommended that they do something. Many of them do what the pastor asked them to do or what needs to be done because no one else would do it. And they're trying to succeed outside of what God has actually called them to do. I call them square pegs in round holes. I'll often say, people will say, you can't fit a square peg in a round hole. That's not true. You can fit a square peg in a round hole if you bash hard enough. If you smash it hard enough, you'll distort the hole and you'll knock the edges off the square peg, but you can kind of make it fit. But nobody's happy. So if you find yourself doing stuff that you're not really gifted to do, are you faithful? Yes. Are you committed? Yes. Absolutely. Are you fulfilled? Not really. Are you miserable? If you're honest, probably yes. Take a moment to step back and see things from God's perspective. He has called you. He's placed unique gifts and talents within you. He started developing those. He gave you a love for these gifts and a sense of fulfillment. He prepares encounters, people, mentors, even trials and obnoxious people. Yes, God sends obnoxious people into your life to hone and develop the skills that you have. How many of you have run into those recently? Yes. He opens the way for you to use your gift. How do you think he feels when he's preparing a path for you in the gift that really you're so excited about and you run off and do something because somebody told you to do it or you felt an obligation to do it? When he had this all prepared for you, I think we need to listen to God, don't you? No matter how good the intention, don't miss God's will out of good intention. Listen to God, and we're going to talk a little bit about this as we go along. And I speak to myself and particularly people in leadership in general, especially pastors, because we see we in church, you tend to be, you're sort of heading up this church and running the church, and you tend to make decisions based on what you perceive are needs, not based on the gifts in people's lives. And that's where I've tried to be entirely different here. I wait and see the gift on someone's life instead of just jamming them into a position because we need it there. So very oftentimes, like if we have kids ministry that's happening downstairs and over here, we look around and we say, gee, we need kids leaders. Oh, that person's a teacher. You can do it. You work with kids. Well, the poor teacher, they've just spent 5 days straight with kids. Do you think they want to sit in Sunday school? Not necessarily, you know. They might. But I'm saying we tend to be motivated from the needs that we see, not from the gifts that are in people's lives. And I think it's important for us guys as leaders to release you in what you love to do. Do I hear an amen? Yeah. We make people do stuff because it fulfills a need and we think it needs to be done. Let me tell you a story. The name wasn't mentioned, but I was reading about this. Charles Stanley talks of a minister. This guy loved God and he felt called of God to be a pastor. And he went to Bible college and he was in the ministry. Now, unfortunately, he was a lousy preacher, a terrible teacher, a hopeless counselor, and an uninspiring leader. And his first church that he went out from Bible college into promptly fired him. So here he is, he has no job, no ministry. And a friend comes along to him who owns a local business and said, "Well, what is it that you like to do?" The ex-pastor said, "I really like numbers. I like figures. I like organizing people to do specific tasks." So the businessman said, "I'll employ you as an admin assistant in my business." He did that and the man shone. He cut costs, increased efficiencies. He became the chief operating officer of the firm. He increased sales by 600%. But the man still longed to serve. He longed to be serving in church. That was his heart. That's what he felt he was called to. Then one day, a pastor of a large church asked the businessman if he knew of any admin pastors. And the businessman went, "Oh, no," because he wanted to hang on to him. But he said, "No." He said, "I think this guy could be the guy." And this failed pastor went on to become one of the finest administration pastors in the United States, helping grow hundreds of churches substantially and financially, launching dozens of ministries and outreaching and blessing hundreds of thousands of people all around the world. And he failed at the first hurdle. You see what I'm saying? He had a gift on his life, but he couldn't perceive what it was. And so it's important that we know our natural gifts. So what are your natural gifts? All of us are born with natural gifts and talents. A true natural gifting is present all of your life. But as we grow, we often lose sight of it and lose sight of the incredible gifts that God's given us. But God doesn't lose that. 1 Corinthians 7:7 says this, "But each has his own kind of gift from God, one of a kind and one of another." So what are some of the natural giftings that you can have? I just want to buzz through these quickly. Number one is aptitudes. Aptitudes are things that relate to your natural body, muscles, coordination, sight, hearing, etc. In other words, some people have natural attributes. Some people are naturally sporty. Have you noticed that? Some people are really sporty. Some people are really arty. Some people are naturally deep thinkers. Right? And that's just the way they are. It's their natural aptitude. How has God wired you? What are your natural aptitudes? The second thing is intelligence. Despite what you may think, sometimes with some of the people you meet, everyone has been given a degree of intelligence. However, most people use only a fraction of it, of the intelligence that God's given them. The third one is intuition. This is sensing things that are not visible or imagining things that are not experienced. Now, we all have some degree of this. Do you know what I mean by intuition? How many of you have met someone or been in a situation and you felt uncomfortable about it even though you don't know why? Has that ever happened to you? That is intuition. And let me tell you, women are great at this. Really good. They have a natural ability to pick things up. I don't know what it's like in your marriage, guys, but in mine, Fiona picks lots of stuff up that I completely miss. In my world, everybody's wonderful. And Fiona understands and picks things that I don't. It's the downside of being married to a psychotherapist, I guess. The fourth thing is emotions. All of us have, some have more emotions than others. Yes? Have you noticed that with your wife? I have. Girls tend to have more emotions than others. But we shouldn't deny our emotions or discard them. God uses emotions to move your heart to help others, to allow you to love others deeply. You can't love deeply if you don't have emotions. That's part of the deal. Number five is gender. You are either male or female. Now, this concept is under attack right now because people are deciding that they, you know, that they're not and that they can choose another one. But I believe God's given you, it's not a curse to be a man or a woman. It's actually a gift. You know, I really think so. Men and women are wired differently. Those who try to change, it's generally a hard, difficult, inefficient path, because we're wired differently. Men are from Mars and women are from Venus. Have you know? How many of you know this? Women are different to men. You know, men are all about doing things. Women are about feeling things. You can see that. You know, I talk to a man, I talk, he listens. He talks, I listen. You get women, you put 10 of them in a room, they all talk at the same time and they take everything in. How do you do that? My middle daughter, Kira, absolutely was certain that her mother had eyes in the back of her head. How did you know I just did that? Fiona says, yes, I know. She's looking in her hair. Is there eyes back there? Because we are wired differently. Creativity is another one. We are all created in some creative in some way, just as God is. You might be good with your hands, good with your mind, good with numbers, good at cooking, building, music, telling jokes, organizing, studying. Oh, these are all sort of natural abilities. And on the basis of these, God will often grow a spiritual gift out of that natural ability. Number seven is interests. What captures your interest? What are you interested in? Might be music, art, sports, cars, photography, flower arranging. I don't know. You know, what is it that really captures your interest? Because God can use that. Almost always, our interests draw us into an avenue of ministry somewhere. Very often, our hobbies grow into a way of serving the Lord. Andy, who's not here today, he loves growing things. If you know Andy, he's just like... Him and Lynn are like mega organic everything, you know. He wants to grow everything in the place. So he has now, he was telling me the other week, he's going to use his love of growing things to start supporting a ministry in the Philippines. He's bought laying hens and they are going to lay eggs. He's going to sell them and get the money to the Philippines. You see, God's using his gift. Is that a spiritual gift? It is when God uses it. Right? I know music has been my hobby, but it's also been my ministry. My mum loves craft. And so she's moved to a new church in the last sort of 6 or 12 months. Guess what she's involved in? Choir? She's involved in craft. She wants, you know, it's her natural sort of gifting and what she loves. And it leads us to number eight, likes and dislikes. Some people love figures, Zach. Some people love art, like Naomi. She loves that sort of stuff. Some people love to build, like Fraser and others. Our likes and dislikes are often innate, but God uses them to guide us through and use them to reach our full potential in that area. It's really exciting. The thing is that God weaves it all together. You are unique. You are made that way by God from birth, and you can't change, nor should you want to change these things. Don't try and be what you're not, but embrace who you are. Those natural gifts and talents that God can use incredibly if you let him. Yield your heart to Jesus and watch him build on your natural gifts to create something really special. And in addition, God adds to these even more natural talents and gifts. He adds capacity. Have you noticed that some people can handle more than others? Have you noticed that? It's a natural capacity to be able to handle things. He adds propensity. Some are naturally curious or cautious. Some are naturally gung-ho. You know, it's just the way that you're wired, but God can use that. I know I'm one of the gung-ho ones. My default position is, let's have a shot at it. Fiona's the opposite. Her default position is, let's examine this thing very carefully. Why we are married together, only God knows. But it seems to work. Praise the Lord. He places dreams in your heart, personality traits, some of which are attractive and some are just plain quirky. Who feels a little quirky at times? Anybody? Just a few of you. He gives us a measure of free will and a measure of determination. He also gives you a measure of faith, and he can develop faith into a spiritual gift later on if you let him. Some have gifts of communication. Some have gifts of being able to network. Have you noticed that? Some guys walk into a room and they just connect with everybody in the room. How do they do that? It's a natural ability. It's a gift. These two can all become amazing assets in the kingdom of God. Matthew 5:16, one of my favorite verses. I love this verse. It says this, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Does it say let what you say? No, it says let your good works shine. See, people are watching you. They may not read a Bible. You're the only Bible they'll ever read. They're watching you. They're seeing what you do. And when they see these gifts being used to God's glory instead of our own selfish ends, they pay attention. In addition, God places you in a generation and a location. It's not an accident that you are in this generation. You could have been born 100 years ago. Who would like to have been born 100 years ago? I wouldn't. There was no internet. There was no Facebook. How do you live without Facebook? Easy, thank you. I sometimes wish I was born back in you know, maybe the 50s or something, so I could grow up in the 60s and get into Beatle music. Right? But God's placed us in this generation for a reason. It's not a mistake. God's placed you in this location for a reason. He's placed you here in this church. It's not by accident. I've even witnessed what has been termed geographical anointing. Do you know that term? It is when you follow the Lord to a specific geographical location that he opens up amazing ministry opportunities. You don't think that's real? Look at Abraham. It's true. I've seen it many a times. In fact, that's what I'm saying to my son-in-law, who's looking from Malaysia, saying, when I move to Australia, what's it going to be like? I'm telling him that when he comes to Australia, God's going to open up stuff that he would never open up back there. It does exist. So the thing is, stay in the flow of your talents. As you grow and develop in Christ from natural to supernatural or spiritual gifts, I'd encourage you to stay in the flow of your gifts. Know what you love to do and what you're good at doing, and let God develop those talents rather than trying to be someone or something you're not, whatever the reason. If you look at Exodus 35, verse 31, it's a really, I mean, you sit there saying, well, you tend to gloss over it because it's all about the tabernacle. But it says this, listen to this verse. And filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship. Craftsmanship. God placed these gifts in this man's life to come and, but when he took them and used them in the tabernacle, it became a spiritual gift. He's still working with his hands, but God anoints that to do something incredible. Does that make sense? So God is actually working to a plan. He's working to a grand design that he's weaving into and through you with your unique talents and gifts and spiritual gifts. So don't run away from your destiny like Jonah. Don't covet the destinies of somebody else, and don't try and do God's job for him. Let him develop these gifts in his own way and in his own timing. If you're anything like me, you want to run ahead. Is anybody like that? Am I the only guy who runs ahead all the time? Look at that. There's five of us who run ahead. Everyone else either lags behind or is right on a par with the Lord. I want to run ahead and make it. I want it to happen yesterday. I always joke, how does God start a race? Ready, set, wait. I hate that. But, you know, I'm learning to stay in God's timing and let him do what he wants to do. That's why church is so important. The dream that's in your heart, my job, as I see it as a pastor, and my calling as a pastor, is to give you a lane to run in, the chance to develop your gift to allow you to shine for the Lord. I'm not here to tell you what you should do, but I know that God's placed gifts and talents in you and dreams in your heart, and my job is to see those happen, to provide a way for them to happen. Most pastors stick people where they think they're needed, not where they shine, but I endeavor not to do this. I have to lay my personal agenda for this church aside and let you reach for the heavens in whatever area you feel gifted in, that God has called you in, that he's been preparing you for since the beginning of time. And the reason we have such a buzz in the room in this place, the reason people are, is that people are actually serving where they love to serve. It's an easy formula. Do what you love and let the Lord take it and use it. No one is too old. No one is too young. No one is too disabled, too impaired, or too hopeless for God to use. But you can be too busy, you can be too distracted, and you can be too disobedient. So we've got to get this right. So how do you grow your gifts? Let me run through this quickly. It's get practical. Number one, teaching and training. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 says this: all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We always look at the first bit and we use it to sort of support why scripture is scripture. But it runs straight into the next verse, which says that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Okay, scripture is useful because it equips us to do what God wants us to do. We need teaching and training. The fastest way to develop any gift or talent is to get into good teaching and training. And there is a difference, but there's a place for both. Teaching is theory. It's facts, principles, concepts, and ideas. It's generally administered in a course or in a sermon, something like that. University, Bible college, that sort of stuff. Teaching is great, but it's entirely useless if you never apply it. It's just head knowledge, purely academic. Training is the application of that teaching into real life situations, and it's often administered in a practical way by mentoring. It tends to be repetitive, disciplined, and it involves practice to make our talent better. One of the great strengths of cults is that they train. They don't teach so much, they train. We teach in church, but they train. Have you sat down and talked to a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness recently? They have these lines they just run off because they're trained in a way that we are not. To grow your gift, you need to fill your life with great teaching and also strong trainers. Even better, make sure that you're going to a church where they not only allow you to reach for your dreams, but they provide training and teaching to support and grow you fast. If your heart is to counsel and share and bless people, that's why we are running this course coming up in a little while. Because we want you to be trained and equipped to do the work that is in your heart. The second thing is practice. Now, I know this is a bad word these days. We don't say practice very much. A famous pianist once said, "If I don't practice one day, I know it the second day, and the world knows it the third day." So no matter how good you become, no matter how good you think you are, practice is an essential part of developing your gift. Don't think you can snap your fingers and be the world's expert at something. You can't. It takes time and effort and practice to develop it. Philippians 4 verse 9 says this: "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Paul says practice them. Get out there and try them. Someone with a natural gift for music can become a good musician, but without practice they will never become a world-class musician. It takes practice. Practice grows your gifts, no matter how good they are. Even Jonathan Thurston goes to football practice. Can you imagine that? How many times has he played for Australia? I don't know. He still goes to football practice because he's not perfect. He's just heavily practiced. The third thing is discipline. Another nasty word we don't like in the 21st century, discipline. Ugh. Discipline's often not so much about what we do, but what we don't do. 2 Timothy 2 verse 4 says this: "No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him." If you want to grow your gift, take the time to practice and pursue it as a matter of urgency. Choose to spend time with leaders who train you. Choose to come to church and sit under good teaching. Do whatever it takes to make your gift grow into the dream that the Lord has placed in your heart. But it takes discipline. You can't float away and float back in and float here and there and expect God to do something. He won't. You've got to persevere with it. That's our next point, perseverance. When God places a dream in your heart and a gift within you, there's only two ways you can fail. You like that? There's only two ways you can fail: disobedience and giving up. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." So many people come to church, they attend for a while, but they don't persevere. They might hear something they don't like, the surf might be good that day, and they just don't bother coming. And they say, "God, grow your spiritual gift in me. Here I am, I'm ready to be used. But man, don't ask me to go to church every week. That would be way too much." So many people come to church and then they leave if they hear something they don't like. The vow never to return again. Many people go from church to church to church trying to find the perfect church. Don't do that. If you find the perfect church, don't join it. You'll mess it up. Because you're not perfect. And church is not perfect. And I'm not perfect. But together we can grow. The thing is, sometimes, often more than you think, you need to persevere and stay in the lane of what you're doing. Just push through it and keep going. If you hear something you don't like in church, if you see something that makes you uncomfortable, let me encourage you with this. Don't just run away. I had a friend who was struggling with spiritual gifts and healing and stuff like that. He didn't believe that God could heal. And we had a service and he left because he was really upset because people were praying for healing. He didn't believe that that could happen. And God gave me a parable. And I came to him and I said, you know, the other day I went out for a meal. He said, okay. And I said, it was steak. I love steak. Okay, he said. So they gave me steak and they gave me potato. I love potato. And they gave me peas. I love peas. And then they gave me mushrooms. And I don't like mushrooms. Like you. They gave me mushrooms. He's saying, yeah. I said, yeah. So I threw the plate in the air, screamed and hollered, cursed the waiter and walked out. He said, oh, that's a bit extreme. I said, yes, it is. What do you do if you find something on your plate you don't like? Do you throw the whole lot away? What do? You push it to one side. If you're a woman, you feed it to your husband. And you eat the things that you like, that you're comfortable with. So in church, you're going to strike things that you don't like. You're going to strike people you don't like. I can't restrict the church to just nice people. And how do you define a nice person? You know, the church is open to everyone. You may find people you don't like, things you don't like. What I'm encouraging you to do, push them to the side and eat the stuff you like, okay? And so that we can grow together, because there are bigger things out there than whether you're offended at one little tiny thing. So persevere, because that's how you grow your gift. It's like the three musketeers, all for one and one for all. See, the natural gift God gives you, the talent he places in your heart, and he brings to bear all things in your life so that you can grow your God-given talent into a spiritual gift. But why would you bother doing that? Why would you bother growing it into a spiritual gift? 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says this, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards. The point of gifts, spiritual gifts, natural gifts, the point of them is not to bless you, it's to bless everybody else. And we sit around saying, well, I don't like that. We've got to think about what it's there for. It is there to bless others. That's what it's there for. Spiritual gifts are not for you to enjoy. Although if you develop them and you're going to enjoy it. I'm telling you, you are going to love it when your spiritual gift grows to maturity. You're going to be blown away, but it's not for you, it's for others. That's what spiritual gifts are about. They're given to build up the body of Christ. When God takes your natural talent and turns it into a spiritual gift, he empowers it to impact people's lives. Best example I could think of, excuse me for this, is my music. Now, if you don't know, I've been a Christian musician for way longer than I can imagine. But I sort of had a natural, you know, talent to sing and to play stuff and everything else. And years ago, I was going to run away from school and join a rock band until my mum found out. And she stopped that very abruptly. But, you know, I wanted to, we were playing rock music and parties and clubs and that sort of stuff. And I was going to earn money and I was going to be, you know, a great musician and singer and all that sort of stuff. But I laid that aside and I decided, made a conscious decision to put that gifting, that, you know, part of it aside and just sing for Jesus. That's what I wanted to do. And when God gets a hold of my gift, suddenly my songs, instead of singing nice songs that they say, that's a nice song, the words that I'm singing, I've seen it just crack people wide open and really touch them deep down in their hearts. And it's not me. It's the spiritual gift in action. I've seen it draw people into a deeper worship with the Lord. I can't do that. I can sing a bit, I can play a bit, but it's what God does with the gift. Does that make sense? Okay, so your gift isn't for you, it's for everyone else. If praying is your gift, it blesses others. Same with prophecy. It's not for you. It's not to be used as a club to smash people into submission and make them do what you want. Okay? If you have the prophetic word in your heart, it is to bless other people. It's one of God's tools. Same with any spiritual gift. And if you start using your spiritual gift to serve others, you will be blessed, I tell you, beyond belief. If your admin skills is your gift and you use it in church to bless others, you will be blessed also. Music gifts, prayer, prophecy, teaching, evangelism, there is nothing like using your gifts to serve the Lord. Nothing like it. Our gifts are not for us alone. They're to bless others. Now, everybody here has gifts in your life. You all have gifts in your life. The question is, are you willing to contribute those? Are you willing to develop those? Do you want to see them grow into something that will impact not only you, but the whole world? So let me finish up with the steps to discovering your spiritual gifts. Number one is accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you've truly asked Jesus into your heart, then you can develop your spiritual gifts. But if you haven't, if your sin is not forgiven, if you don't know that you have eternal life, if that's still a question mark in your life, then you're not going to develop your gifts to their full potential. You're just not. Ephesians 2 verses 8 to 10 spells it out pretty well. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. So when salvation is offered to you, it is a free gift. It's from God. It's yours. It's your free gift. You can be saved. You can be free of sin. You can have eternal life. You've been saved through faith. It is not from your own doing. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You can't earn it. The Bible talks about wages, but not in regards to salvation, because the wages of sin is death. You can't earn your salvation, but you can receive it. But then what's the very next verse after that verse? Verse 10 of Ephesians 2 says this: for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. What he's saying is, in the whole scope of time, from before you were born to way after you go to be with the Lord, God has a view of all that, and he's prepared stuff for you, and he offers you salvation. And if you receive that, you get to be a part of this amazing journey that he's been preparing for you. God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. That's what it says. But until you commit your life to Jesus, your natural skills and talents will just be that. They will not develop into world-changing spiritual gifts. Why? Because if you're unsure of your salvation, if it's murky, if it's obscure, if you don't make time with the Lord, spend time with him, if you indulge in sin, then your gift just will not properly develop. So I want to encourage you, if you've never made a commitment to Christ, today is a great day to do it. Palm Sunday is a terrific day to say, Lord, I ask you into my life as my Lord and Savior. And if you've made that commitment before and you don't feel like it's happening and you're just not sure, then today is a great day to make it sure, because God loves you and he has a plan for your life rolling out in front of you. The second thing is to improve your serve. They say this in tennis a lot, but when we serve, we learn as much about ourselves and our gifts as we do about anything else. So foster a serving heart and look for opportunities to serve. In Coast Church, we have great opportunities to serve for all kinds of gifts, from prayer, prophecy, music, teaching, helping, all sorts of stuff. If you've got a gift, if you've got something in your heart that you love to do, serve. And watch God do something amazing with it. Concentrate not on furthering your own ambitions. If I do this, then I can get up there and I can, you know. But just concentrate on serving and letting the Lord do what he does. Learn to serve no matter the cost, no matter the recognition, and no matter the apparent success. Mark 10 says it well. Whoever would be great among you, Jesus said, must be a servant. And whoever would be first among you must be the slave of all. Listen, guys, the fastest way to grow that ministry dream in your heart, the fastest way, is to serve someone else. I've seen it myself. Again, a testimony from my music. Sorry to dwell on that, but this is my experience. I wanted to grow a music ministry. I made a decision to be a Christian musician. I was traveling and singing in different churches around the place. And I met a man called Bill Newman, and he's an evangelist. And he said, would you come with me and sing before I speak? And I laid it all aside. And I decided to serve a man of God and have seen amazing blessing, not only in my own life, but all around the world, serving someone else's ministry. Now, you've got to get used to some things. I'm a musician, so you know how conceited we all are. You're supposed to agree with that, okay? Well, many of us are conceited, okay? So when I go to a place, it'll have, you know, Billy Graham Association, Bill Newman speaks, and team. I'm the team. So my name doesn't appear on the liturgy. You've got to get over that stuff because you're a servant. But I tell you, that decision that Fiona and I made to serve another man's ministry was the greatest decision we could have made. So if you want to grow your gift, do 201 when we do it in a few weeks' time, then place your gift into the service of the Lord. Just start serving and God will do amazing things. The third thing is, don't try and be somebody else. God made you. He made you unique. He loves you, quirks and all. And, you know, he believes that you have something to give back to the people. God believes that you have something to contribute. You are unique. Your gift is unique. Don't throw it away and be a poor imitation of somebody else. It's your gift. Don't try and be somebody else. Make your life, you know, if you're going to imitate somebody, imitate godly people in their character. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. But don't try and be somebody you're not. When that verse comes out, it's about your character. Imitate people who love Jesus and be like them in that way. The fourth thing is train. We've mentioned this before. Train, practice, and grow. To develop your gift, make the decision to train and practice as you need to see your gift grow the way God wants it to. Get serious about going hard and becoming the best you can possibly be. Don't walk in and expect to be the top dog all the time. Come in humbly, say, how can I serve? Because I tell you, the Bible says a man's gift makes way for him. The leaders in this church are pretty clued in. When they see a gift in your life and a humble spirit serving, I guarantee you, your gift is going to be raised up because they can see that. That's what they're looking for. Psalm 144 verse 1 said, bless the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for battle. You see, David was trained to battle, and we need to be trained as well. It means finding those who are further along the track in your ministry area and getting close to them, even pursuing them for all that you've got. And stay close to God because he can lead and guide you in your ministry as well. I say it all the time, but you need to be praying daily and reading the Bible daily. That's why we have our Bible reading plan. Those who read the Bible daily are seeing amazing changes in their life and seeing their ministry start to unfold before their eyes. It's cool. It's really important. So, most importantly, we finish with this. Know your gift. As you keep growing closer to the Lord, start to know your gift more intimately, what it involves. Know what needs to happen to achieve success and especially know its limitations. I have to confess, I am really bad at this sometimes. I'm fairly gifted at a number of things, so I tend to overcommit and do lots and lots and lots of things. And the Lord is speaking to me. I've had several people in leadership in this church speaking to me about pulling back in some areas. And it's really true. This week, I just quit one of the jobs that I had. I only seem to pull out of things I earn money from. That's weird. I don't know why that is. If I earn money, apparently it can go. And the other things that don't earn money stay. I don't know why that is. But anyway, that's what's happened. I'm pulling out of a particular consulting job that I've been doing. And there are other things coming. You need to know your limits and know when you're reaching your limits. So if you want to reach your full potential for God, know and recognize not only your gifts, but also your natural talents and limits. My aim as a pastor is to release you into spiritual ministry. My aim as a pastor is to see you develop into all that you can possibly be, both within this church and outside of this church. That's why we want you to do the 101 and 201 courses, because we want you to shine. And more than that, we want you to shine at what you love doing. I want you to be engaged in church, serving the Lord, doing what really presses your buttons and floats your boat. You know, what gets you excited? What I want is to see you serving the Lord, loving him, loving serving, and loving life. Ephesians 2:10, let me remind you again, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. But it all starts with asking Jesus into your life and getting close to him.
You've been listening to Pastor Darren Brown. senior pastor of Coast Church, Woombye, on the beautiful Sunshine Coast of Queensland, Australia. For more messages from the heart, transcripts, and other material, visit www.coastchurch.com.au or subscribe on podbean.com. See you next week on Messages from the Heart.